Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Holy shit! NBA Australia! How you going? Fuck, I might pass out after that. That's right, man, it's NBA Australia. It's Friday, April 12. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, apparently, for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to sling me some of that walking round green. And I'm here in Larry Armour studio, sitting next to Larry Armour himself, because the floors have just been mopped and you can't go outside the studio. And we're here giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we break down, wrap up after every single day of NBA action while ripping straight just a little bit. And it's time. It's here. Playoffs. Woo! Let's do it, man. Fun day today. We're just going to do a playoff preview, a quick fire end of season awards show, which is awesome. I mean, it's pretty sick, actually. We're going to preview every single first round playoff series. And we're also going to reveal our NBA ballot with a very special NBA awards. Yeah, nah. With all our NBA awards. Like, these are just the normal bullshit nerd awards. And we do our favoritely NBA Australia awards when they do the NBA awards show later on. But this is just the NBA ballot. We're going to do that. We're also going to wrap the regular season for all the NBA Australia Australian player watchers. That's right, man. We're going to have a look at all the highlights and wrap the year for every Aussie player. Plus, thanks to Sports Tips Australia, there's a look at the odds and a pick and preview for all the games on Sunday. That's right, the first four playoff games. It's going to be pretty good. And we'll chuck in a couple of sweet tips for you as well. And then, the best part is we're going to close out with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. How good is that? I love it. Playoffs! Playoffs! Let's go! It's NBA Australia, episode 264. Let's do the damn thing!
This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wah, you bet. I better watch out for the attack of the old NBA Mad Mondays, though, apparently. Holy shit, everybody's getting fired. Gotta watch out for those GMs with the itchy trigger fingers, huh? Holy crap, that's right. We're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around, and it is Mad Monday in the NBA, where everyone just gets shit-canned, apparently. That's right, the Sacramento Kings have shit-canned Dave Yeager, which is absolutely bananas. It's the best Sacramento Kings season since 2006, and Vlade Divac is like, Dave, no, it's not good, still not good, don't know like Dave. Dave, I could take a living, I could probably find one cheaper. Yeah, find cheaper, that's fine. This cigar is not good, let's find cheaper one, it's fine, don't worry. Holy crap. Woj reported this today in that Divac is consolidating power around himself, which is always great. You know, that works out fantastic usually. When a guy with no track record of actually running a successful NBA franchise goes, nah, fuck yous, I know how to do this better than all yous. Especially his coach who's apparently doing well. Yes, absolutely fucking wild. We've seen this before where the Kings go, oh, you're a bit of a successful coach. Nah, fuck off! And it all goes for shit for ages. Unbelievable. They haven't done shit for 15 years. Sacramento, they do something half decent this season and they shit can their coach. What a bunch of fucking idiots. Anyway, speaking of fucking idiots, the Grizzlies! Ah, not to be outdone, they fired JB Bickerstaff and reassigned that spud Chris Wallace, their GM, as well as former ESPN writer and VP of basketball ops, John Hollinger. Wow, which is crazy. That's right, they're promoting Jason Wexler to president, overseeing basketball and business, with Zach Kleiman. He's executive VP of basketball ops now, which is pretty funny, because now the Grizz are going to start searching for a new head coach. Oh, wait, didn't they just hire David Fizdale two fucking years ago? Well, three seasons ago now. Shit can him after a year and like a month, because Marc Gasol was tired of being told to run laps and lose some fucking weight by Fizz. And the goddamn Grizz go, alright, fuck you, Fizdale, on your bike. See ya, pal. And he goes off takes a fucking 6 month sabbatical with his hot wife and then goes signs in New York for a shit ton of money. And the Grizzlies just promote JB Bickerstaff and then fucking shit can this idiot after a season anyway. Grizzlies, what the fuck are you idiots doing? Well, this is clearly a power grab by the old Jason Wexler, but come on. What a fucking clown car of a franchise that is. And not to be outdone on the fucking clown car stakes, the Cavs are firing Larry Drew. Oh, we're mutually parting ways. Larry Drew, how smart was he to you before he signed on as the interim coach? He held them over a fucking barrel going, motherfuckers, you ain't going to have a head coach if I don't give it the old fucking thumbs up. And the only way I'm going to do that is if you guarantee me for the rest of this year and a partial guarantee for next year and give me a fucking pay bump. The Cavs, they did that. Larry Drew got his money. And now the Cavs are like, oh, actually, we're going to go get a new head coach. Larry Drew's like, fucking cool, man. I'm getting paid anyway. So apparently the Cavs are opening the search for a new head coach. They're looking at experienced assistants. Utah's Alex Jensen. Portland's Dave Vanderpool. Nate Tibbetts. Denver's Wes Unseld Jr. Pretty cool. They're also going to look through the college head coaching ranks. Sure. And final front office stuff, the Phoenix Suns have officially hired Jeff Bauer as VP of basketball ops and named James Champ Jones as their general manager. Nice. He'd been the interim GM, handing LeBron James anything he wanted from the Phoenix Suns, like, offices. He's like, hey, LeBron, do you need some staples? I've got a bunch of them here. Paper clips. I'll get a laptop. Do you want me to get it? I'll get you a laptop, LeBron. Oh, here's Tyson Chandler. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Good stuff, James Jones. A bit of injury news for the playoffs before we get into our predictions. Johnny Isaac is expected to be cleared for the Magic to take on the Raptors, which is pretty good because Johnny Isaac's had a pretty good year and he's pretty damn good. And we have no concrete update on Joel Embiid as of yet. It's going to be pretty important going up against the Nets, as we're about to get into. But Jesus. Anyway. It's going to be fun as hell. All right, let's do it. Are you ready? I can't believe it's the fucking playoffs. I mean, it's the playoffs. Playoffs! Playoffs! Nice one. Let's do the damn thing. All right, let's do some playoff predictions. Let's start in the East. Aww. It's going to be Milwaukee. That's right. The 16-22 Milwaukee Bucks taking the Detroit Basketball Pistons of Detroit, Michigan. 41-41, Detroit. So we're going to do all of these playoff previews with a big question, the key blokes, and the best matchups to watch, and then a pick. So let's do it. One big question for Milwaukee versus Detroit. I mean, the one big question is how much do the Bucks stomp them by each game? 15 points? 20 points? I mean, who on the Pistons roster is even a fucking sniff at stopping Giannis, right? Oh, shit. Is that Kung Fu Thon's music? Kung Fu Thon, 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 Thon. His old fucking mate Giannis, that's right. Nah, the one big question is like, yeah, Giannis is going to be unstoppable, but really, is Blake Griffin healthy? And the answer to that very, very clearly seems like it's a big fat fucking nope. Yeah, nah. So with that in mind, I mean, sure, the Pistons stomped the Knicks in the final game of the season to get into the playoffs, but this is going to be an absolute fucking laugher, isn't it? How much more would you have rather seen like Kemba Walker and Charlotte watch like Kemba try to throw 60 up each game against Milwaukee? That'd be way more fun. But yeah, look, key blokes for this series, obviously Giannis. He's averaged a 28, 12 and a half and six this season. The other key bloke is Blake's knee. He's the only half decent player basically on Detroit apart from Andre Drummond. And Reggie Jackson, fucking Jesus, this is going to be a shit show. Milwaukee just going to smoke him. So best matchup to watch. This is kind of interesting, I guess. There's two. I've got Andre Drummond versus Brook Lopez. Slash whoever the Bucks want to play on Andre Drummond, because Andre delighted in kicking the absolute bejesus out of Brook while he was on the Nets. And I got to see actually up close a couple of times. One time from fucking courtside, where we had the weird courtside upgrade before I was part of a halftime show, which was funny as hell. And Andre is just that much bigger than Brook and that much more athletic. But this was a couple of years ago. Going to be interesting to see how this all goes now with Brook, you know, stretching Andre out to the three-point line. So that's why it goes both ways. Andre should be able to get his rebounds and, you know, kick some ass. But Brook, when he's dropping bombs from the outside, Andre Drummond's going to be like, oh, fuck, what am I doing in... Oh, I'm in the key again. Ah, shit. But obviously, the best matchup to watch is, like, who the fuck are the Pistons going to put in Giannis? They traded Stanley Johnson. Now their wings are basically Bruce Brown. That's not Bruce Bowen. That's Bruce Brown. Luke the Duckman Kennard. Glenn Baby Big Dog Robinson III, and Wayne Wayno Ellington. Which really actually just leaves Thon Kung Fu Thon, Thon Song, Thon McCurt to have a crack at his old mate, his former teammate, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, Detroit are fucking toast, aren't they? Yeah, the pick is Milwaukee. Yeah, Milwaukee Bucks. Green and going. Nice one. They are going to win it. 4-0. I've got them. Good job, Milwaukee. That is going to be a rough one, but not as rough as 2 vs. 7. That's right. We've got Toronto versus Orlando. 58-24. Toronto taking on 42-40 Orlando. The one big question for this is, will you watch a second of this series? Oh, shit. It's going to be on NBA TV 2, this one. Fucking hell. Look, I'll watch the first game just to sort of get a chance, like an idea for how well Orlando match up against Toronto. But my feeling is not very well. I mean, look, let's go into the key blokes for this series, shall we? Kawhi. He really should rip through the Magic, shouldn't he? I mean, the Magic, what, they can throw Aaron Gordon, Air Gordon on him? Sure. They've got Evan Fournier out there. They've got Johnny Isaac. Isaac is going to be, like, way more important than you probably think for Orlando. And it's going to be fascinating to see how they go in the first, like, half. And in the third quarter, I think Toronto just put on the Jets and blow them out in the first game. And, yeah, we just never pay attention to this series again. Other key blokes, Big Booty Car Larry. He's going to be taking up against DJ fucking Augustine. I mean, come on, man. And but the one sort of, like, big matchup to watch out for is Vooch. That's right, we've got Vooch being covered by Mark Coach Killer Gasol and Serge Ibaka. Yeah, how's Mark Gasol? He's killing coaches like JB Bickerstaff, even though he's still not on the fucking team. That's how much of a coach killer this prick is. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see if Ed Gordon and Johnny Isaac can sort of step up with Vooch sort of manfully battling Gasol and Serge. I mean, that's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes, but at the same time, outside of that, you've got Fournier and you've got T-Rolls trying to smash his old team and shoot the team out of games. And, yeah, I don't really like the odds in this one here for Orlando, so I reckon the tip here, oh, geez, who do you reckon it's going to be? Watch out.
Raptors were fierce, intelligent, and socially sophisticated, able to hunt in numbers and coordinate their efforts. Raptors would become the dominant species on this planet.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Everybody to the left. Yeah, sure. I mean, all right, cool. So I've got Toronto 4-1 winning this one. I think Orlando get one in Orlando out of nowhere where Toronto sort of just give up the ghost in game 3 or 4. And then 3 vs. 6 matchup. We've got Philly versus Brooklyn. Wow, this is going to be fun. We've got Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Jonah Bolden going up against the old Nets. 51-31 Philly, 42-40 Brooklyn. One big question for this series. Can Brooklyn take their 2-2 record against the Sixers this season into the postseason? Or will Joel Embiid just stomp them? Because the one big question is, Joel Embiid, is he going to be healthy? Because this goes straight into our key blokes. Joel Embiid, if he plays, he fucking loves kicking the shit out of go the fro Jared Allen, doesn't he? Holy crap. In the 4 games they played this year, Embiid had 16, 15, and 4 in the first game. 32, 12, and 5 in the second. 33, 17, and 6 in the third, and 39, 13, and 6 in the fourth. I mean, damn, that's fucking brutal. I mean, Brooklyn just looking at that like,
this is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
That's right. It is horrible. There's no other way to put it. Other key blokes, I mean, this is going to be interesting. Jimmy Butler, he's already hit a game winner over Brooklyn this year. And, I mean, Tobias Harris, he's just going to sort of float around, do his usual Tobias Harris stuff. And Big Simo Ben Simmons is probably going to dunk all over Brooklyn because D'Angelo is the key bloke for Brooklyn, isn't he? I mean, if he can be efficient, he's a wildly tough matchup for the Sixers beyond them going, oh, shit, Jimmy Butts or Big Simo, you better get on him. Can you please cover him? He's about to go for 40. Because the best matchups to watch out for this one is really D'Angelo and Spencer Dinwiddie. Are going to be covered by JJ Redick or TJ McConnell or Big Simo or Butts down the stretch. And whichever one that is not covered by Simo or Butts, really going to have to take advantage of it. You know, it feels like they can. This is an interestingly sneaky, okay, wing versus wing matchup. So Brooklyn have got a shit ton of random lengthy-ish kind of wings. They've got Rodion Kurix, Damari Carroll, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Jared Old Man Dudley, my sweet baby Carrots LeVert. And that goes up against Big Sumo Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Mike Scott, et al. So look, it's actually a sneakily fucking good matchup. So I like this a lot. Philly, Brooklyn, it's going to be closer than most people reckon. And my pick is going to be, oh geez, here we go. Pretty great, isn't it? What a song. My pick is 4-2. Philly win this one. I reckon Brooklyn get a random one in Philly, but Philly close it out in Brooklyn in game six. And then finally in the East, we've got Boston versus Indy 4-5. We've got the 48-33 Celtics taking on the 47-35. Wait, that doesn't add up. 40. Jesus. I didn't update that one apparently. Oh, good job, me. Isn't that great? either way, it's 4-5. The 49-33 Boston Celtics and the 48-34 Indiana Pacers. There we go. One big question for this. I mean, are Boston going to be okay without Marcus Smart? Hint, I reckon it's going to be fuck yes. I reckon Terry Rozier just steps into the Marcus Smart role. They play Jaylen Brown a little bit more and bang, away they go. Key blokes for this series, you've got Kyrie Irving for the Celtics. He's matched up against Darren Collison. I mean, come on. Kyrie's just looking at this, licking his fucking lips, isn't he? And on the flip side, Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis. They're going to need to work Boston. Work the body. If you kill the body, the head dies. Work them on the boards up against average Al Horford and Bangers Baines, because the best matchups to watch out for this one really is, like, crucially for Boston always, is the bigs matchup. You got Miles and Souvlaki King Domantas Sabonis. Oh, yeah, I love the combination meat. Thanks, Domantas. Yep, easy on the tomato. Can I get a bit of extra garlic sauce? Thanks, mate. Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King, and Miles Turner, if they can run average Al ragged, force the Celtics to rely probably more on Mook Morris and Bangers Baines than they want to, then that's a win for the Pacers. The problem is, if Tyreek Evans can't do shit, and it's not likely he's going to be able to, you're going to end up having Jason Tatum versus Bojan Bogdanovic. Sort of, that's going to be a weird matchup that you kind of like for Boston. Tatum could probably be covered by Thad Young as well. Bojan could sort of get going, but there's just no one else really on Indy that you feel like can hurt Boston that much, right? So it's a bit of a tough one. So I'm going to take, I think it's actually going to be a bit of a tough series though, because you know what? I am going to take these guys. Yes, we got Celtics right. We're feeling the green down deep inside. Oh, that's so Celtics fucking weird, isn't it? Right. Feeling it way down deep inside. Jesus. All right. I'm going to take Boston 4-3. I reckon this goes a distance as Boston figured out late. I reckon they might even be down the old 3-1 Boston and then win three straight. I reckon everyone panics. That's going to be the panic series. I'm excited. All right. Going out west now, we have the Golden State Warriors taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. That's right. It's the 57-25 Golden State Warriors taking on the 48-34 Clips. One big question here. Will Pat Beverly kill Steph Curry on the court or wait until they're off the court after game one on the way to the cars to kill him? Curious. Nah, but really, do the Clips have any hope of making any noise relying on so many young dudes is really the one big question. They've got Shai Redder, Gilgeous Alexander, Landry Sham, Wow, Shamit. They've got Avicii Zubac. I mean, Trez is pretty young as well. But I mean, this is kind of fun. It's a great, like, weird little storyline because remember, the Clippers were the last West team to beat the Clippers, beat the Warriors in the NBA playoffs. I mean, sure, it was like five fucking years ago, but still, they did it. Sure, no one from that team still on this team, but they did it. Yeah, so key blokes for this, you got Boogie for the Warriors. First time playing in the playoffs. That's right, he made it with the Pelicans last year, but didn't play. This is your time, big fella. You're going up against Avicii Zubac and Montrezl Hollins. Montrezl Harrell. There you go. And that's going to be fun as hell. That's what I was trying to say. The other key bloke is Steph Curry. Is he actually going to be healthy? Does it really matter? I think it kind of does. He's the straw that stirs the drink, as they say. And if Steph is like a little bit less than 100%, like the Clippers have maybe got a bit of a puncher's chance in a game or two. But then Kevin the Coward Snake Durant will probably just go fuck it and take over. And other key blokes, Lou Williams. Sweet Lou Williams. Unfortunately shot 15 of 44 against the Warriors this year. Ugh. He also, though, however, don't forget, he dropped 50 on them last year. So who knows with Lou Will. He could ball out. It could be crazy. And obviously the other key bloke is one half of our best matchups to watch out for is Danilo Gallinari going up against the Coward Snake, Kevin Durant. I mean, you get the feeling that Gallo is going to get eated up. But at the same time, it's going to be fun to see Gallo go into a series healthy and see what he can do. But the real big best matchup to watch out for beyond Steph Curry versus Pat Beverly, in which Pat Beverly might maim Steph Curry. Jesus. Is Doc Rivers versus Steve Kerr. That's actually going to be a really fun coaching matchup, this one. I'm not sure if people are really sort of sleeping on that or not, but I'm really pretty excited about that, so that'd be cool. But the pick is in, and who do you reckon this one's going to be? Oh, jeez.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play. Warriors.
Yeah, it just gets a bit fucking weird after that, doesn't it? Warriors in five, I've got over the Clips. 4-1. There we go, Warriors. We have the Denver Nuggets taking on the San Antonio Spurs in 2-7. That's a 54-28. Denver Nuggets and the Spurs, who are 48-34. One big question for this is, are Denver ready for this and ready for Pop? Are you ready, Denver? We ready. Are you ready, though? Are you really ready? Because this is everyone's like fancy like upset pick. Everyone's like, the Spurs have just been there before, man. They've just been there. So, yes, they have, but they're just not as good as Denver. So for the key blokes for this matchup, I've got Nikola Jokic, hello. He could dominate this series and have an absolute signature run. As I mean, who are they going to throw at him from the Spurs? LaMarcus Aldridge? Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl? Fucking hell. I think Nikola Jokic is going to oot in this, and it's going to be fun as hell to watch, I'll tell you that much. The other key bloke is on the other side, DeRozan. He's going to be going up against Jam and Jamal Murray and the Dartsman Gary Harris, Will the Thrill Barton, etc. And you'd feel like DeMar should be all right against those dudes. They are a little bit hit and miss. DeMar should be very, very steady, but I just can't see him getting the best of those three dudes night in, night out. But that leads us to the best matchup this has on offer, this series. You got Joker, Nikola Jokic, and Paul Thrillsap against LaMarcus Aldridge. Jesus. Yeah, I reckon there's a little bit enough there between Joker and Thrillsap to give LaMarcus Aldridge a couple of headaches. I mean, maybe. They really feel like LaMarcus should be fine against those two guys, but I've got a sneaking suspicion Denver just go, oh, you want us to put on the clamps? Yeah, all right, well, here are the clamps. We're going to do this. And put on the clamps. It's going to be a bit of a rough one. So how did LaMarcus go against Denver this year? Not too bad. 27 and 4, 24 and 7, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 16 points, 6 rebounds. Eh, I reckon Denver might better slow him down, and I reckon that might be doing it. It's a tough one. But the other best matchup, again, is another coaching one. We've got Mike Malone and Greg Popovich. It's going to be fun as hell. The pick, though, the pick is...
Denver Nuggets, playoffs, 2009. You know we had to do it. We can take it to the lane, the crushing of the Virginia morning. The way we
passing the ball, it's like we're standing on you. Oh, I love that old fucking Nuggets song. That's great. I got Denver in 6 in this one. I reckon the Spurs are smart enough and wily enough to get 2 off them. But Denver are just more talented and deeper. And yeah, 4-2. And then what do we got? 3-6, Portland versus OKC. How good is this? I love this matchup. It's just so tasty, though. I mean, we've had like almost punch-ons with these guys all year. We've got 53 and 29 for the Blazers, 49 and 33 for the Thunder. I love this. So, one big question for the Portland OKC series. I mean, can Portland get on board? They've gone 4-0 versus OKC this year. They're going to be without Nurk. Can they win one game against OKC? That is the big question, because they haven't so far this year. The key blokes as well. Paul George loves playing Portland. He had 37, 36, 47, and 32 against them in those four games this year. That's fucking wild. Do you think he likes playing Portland? I think he does. The other key blokes, Dame Lillard. Can he battle Rusty to a standstill and beat him? This one's on you, Dame. Prove it to us. Prove to us that you're a first-team All-NBA point guard. Let's do it. And the other key bloke for Portland is CJ McCollum. I mean, A, is he fucking healthy? And B, can he shoot better than 28%, which is what he's done since he got back from his injury? I hope he is, because it's going to be fun to see Dame and CJ ball out in the playoffs once more. I love him. But, I don't know. These matchups are pretty crazy, aren't they? Rusty versus Dame? That's going to be fun. Enes the Penis Kanter versus his old team. And Steven Adams, boo, crushing him every time, every chance he gets. You've got Paul George versus the bevy of Portland sort of, you know, wing bigs. Mo Harkless, Chief Aminu, even Jake, not a layman. It's going to be fun as hell. Unfortunately for Portland, though, I think this is going to be another year where they go in as a three seed and then get rolled. That's right. OKC in six is my pick. Whoa, rough one. And then final playoff series, we got Houston versus Utah, 4-5. Woo! The Rockets, 53-29. The Jazz, I believe it's a soft J, 50-32. This is going to be fun as hell. Everyone going, oh, I can't believe Houston lost and missed out of the two seed. Yeah, that sucks. But I mean, one big question is here. Well, my one big question is, are Houston like actually kind of stoked on being on the Warriors' side of the bracket at the moment? I kind of think they are. Like, they miss out on the 2-seed, but they also then miss out on Mike D'Antoni getting his ass handed to him once more by Greg Popovich. If they do win this series and get through to play the Warriors in round two, they'll have a fresher James Harden and a fresher Chris Paul, as opposed to round three of the playoffs, James Harden and Chris Paul. They get a Utah team that had zero answers for them in the playoffs last year, so they're not afraid of them. And if they advance get past this, they're not afraid of the Warriors at all. And then they're not really afraid of whoever wins out of Denver, Spurs, Portland, OKC. So I feel like Houston are kind of looking at this going, fuck it. I'll take it as long as they get past Utah. Because key blokes for here for this series, Harden, key thing for him is he's not playing as Dante Exum. Thanks shit for Harden, right? Because Dante Exum, the Harden stopper, just shut him down last year a couple of times. So, well, James Harden's going to feel pretty good. So watch him go out there and absolutely crush it. The other key blokes are Donovan fucking Mitchell. He shot 36% versus Houston in the playoffs last year as a rook. Hopefully he's going to do better than be Steve Francis 2.0 again. And Joe Ingles, Jinglin' Joe, will he own them again? Remember last year he averaged 15-5-4 and shot 50%, tore him apart a couple of times. But just wasn't enough as Utah couldn't get over the hump. But there's a lot of really good matchups here, right? You've got Harden versus Mitchell, Rubio, O'Neal, whoever they want to throw at him. You've got Rudy Gobert, Zestafa Tower versus Clint Capella, the giant Swiss versus the towering Frenchman. You've got Mike D'Antoni versus Quinn Snyder, which is a pretty interesting one too, provided that Mike D'Antoni's out of hospital. Anyway, but this is pretty interesting, isn't it? Because if you go all the way back to 2012... four seeds in the West. Not a great track record. In 2012, the Grizz lost in seven to the Clippers. In 2013, the Clippers lost in six to the Grizz. In 2014, the Rockets lost in six to the Blazers. In 2015, the Blazers lost in five to the Grizz. In 2016, the Clippers lost in six to the Blazers, then lost in seven to the Jazz the next year. And the Thunder lost in six to the Jazz last year. I feel like the moral of the story is, don't be the four seed in the West. Holy shit. Oh, but still. Jimmy, hurry up and get to your pick, will ya? All right. I don't feel good about this, but let's do it.
Yeah. Everybody wanna be Jordan. Everybody wanna be Kobe. just wanna be y'all know. Y'all know. Y'all know. I just wanna be OG Carmelo.
I be that 3-2 that
OG. Yeah, I got Utah in 7. It's crazy to think that Houston would go out in the first round, but I don't know. Just going to throw it out there and hope it sticks against the wall. Maybe. We'll see how we go. And there you go. That's all the playoff previews. We'll see how we go with our picks. And we'll be back in a second with our awards edition of Yeah Nah right after, let's say, this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. How good is the old House Sets? I love this behind you. Now I'm going to go to their album watch tonight. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, it's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And today we are going to do our NBA awards ballot edition, Yeah Nah, where we're going to ask a question about all the major awards and the All-NBA team. Let's just get into it, shall we? What do you reckon, Larry? He's asleep behind me. No, he's just raised his head. He's awake. Yeah, settle down. All right. All right, let's do it. Yeah Nah Awards Edition number 1. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the MVP with James Harden second and Nikola Jokic third. I mean, Yeah Nah. Yeah. Fuck yes. Giannis is your MVP this year. 27.7 points. 12.5 rebounds. 6 assists a game. A 30.95 PER. Which is the 12th best ever. He's the 12th best PR in history. That's fucking wild. Absolutely wild. I feel like Giannis is like pretty impeachable here. We talked it out with PDX Pete the other day. And but 30.95 as a PR is absolutely fucking bananas, isn't it? Oh, I mean, come on, man. But anyway, like the rest of his stats... It's also 1.5 blocks a game, 1.3 steals a game. And for all the ball handling he's doing, it's 3.7 turnovers. And he's doing all this in only 32.8 minutes a game. It's absolutely wild. He's literally, like, with that 12th best PR of all time, he's literally just behind Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, LeBron, and Steph Curry. Wilt did it 3 times, MJ did it 4 times, LeBron's done it 3, and Steph's done it once. That's fucking crazy. He'll also become just the 4th player in NBA history to lead a 60-win team in points per game, rebounds per game, and assists per game. Fucking hell. The only other people who've ever done that are Wilt. He did that twice. LeBron did it twice. And Larry Bird once. Jesus. But I think this was the key point about our chat with our PDX Pete, was that he plays both ends of the game. He's a dominating force in both ends. He was a 12th in defensive real plus minus in the entire league. Harden is a minus in that. He was first in defensive win shares. Harden was 103rd. He was 6th in defensive rating, but 3rd in actual heavy usage players. Harden was 385th. Come on, man. Harden's amazing. 36.1 points a game is fucking nuts, but he's just not been better this year than Giannis. Giannis led a team to 60 wins in the 1 seed. Harden led them to the 4 seed. I mean, come on. Let's all be real here for a second. We're going to look back and go, that was a fucking bananas year from Giannis. And if he doesn't win the MVP, we're all going to look like fucking idiots. All right, number 2. Luka Doncic is Rookie of the Year over Trae Young with a sex man, a surprising 3rd. I mean, yeah, nah. Shit. Yeah. Come on. Let's do it. Rookie of the Year. Not Rookie of the last 2.5 months. That's why Luka Doncic is Rookie of the Year over Trae Young. We broke all this down like a week and a half ago. 21.2 points to 19.1. 42.7% from the field versus 41.8. 32.7% from 3 versus 32.4. 6 assists versus 8.1. So that goes to Trey. 7.8 rebounds versus 3.7. 1.1 steals versus 0.9. 3.4 turnovers versus 3.8. Just Luka's beating him in every single one of those counting stats apart from 8 assists a game versus 6. And the advanced one just smash it. Like his PER, 19.6 over 17.0. The VORP is 3.6 versus 0.6. Jesus. The box plus minus is 4.1 versus minus 1.1. Hot damn. 4.9 win shares versus 3.3. Luka is your Rookie of the Year. Trae Young also had a fucking sick year. I don't have a problem with Trae Young. He was awesome, but Luka was neck level. Just saying. And the sex man, Colin Sexton. What an absolute rip snorter of a second half of the year it was for him. They gave him the green light and away he went and turned himself into a fucking absolute rip snorter of a player. DeAndre Ayton was also very, very good, and so was Marvie Bagges. Great year for rookies, just in general. Loved it. All right, next up. Doc Rivers is your coach of the year. Yeah, nah. Nah. Oh, couldn't do it to him. Give me Buds. He marked Jackson the Bucks. Well, I mean, yeah. He Steve Kerr'd the Bucks after being marked Jackson'd by fucking Jason Kidd. That's right, man. From a first round out to a 60-win juggernaut just by virtue of mostly being not Jason Kidd, but also being an amazing coach. Because at some point we have to look at this and go, oh shit, Buzz took an Atlanta team of like nobodies to a 60-win sort of one seed and led the Bucks to an overall one seed as well. He's a great fucking coach. And the job he did this year was amazing. So he's got it. Then I've got Mike Malone. He was awesome all year. Took the Nugs up a notch from missing the playoffs last year to the 2 seed. Crushed it. And then I've got Kenny Atkinson. 14 more wins. Took the Nets to a playoff spot with none of their own draft picks. It's absolutely wild. And then I've got Doc Rivers and Quinn Snyder there at 4 and 5. Very good coaching performances this year. I still can't believe Dave Yeager got shit canned. I'm still fucking furious about that. Fucking Kings, man. Anyway, moving on. Rudy Gobert's the Staff of Tower is also the defensive player of the year. Yeah, nah. Mais oui. Oui. No. Oui. Yeah. Paul George's on-off defensive rating is minus 4.1, which is huge. Rudy's only 0.7. OKC crater, basically, when Paul George isn't out there. The Jazz are still roughly okay without Rudy, but still, come on. Give me Rudy. This one comes down to a lot of like the eye test and like the way that teams play. Paul George did have to sit there and like, you know, actually basically go out there and try to stop the very best player on each team every time OKC played. But Rudy did anchor one of the very best defenses in the NBA all year and play like an absolute beast. So I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give Giannis third here as well. He was minus 3.6 on his on-off defensive ratings, which is pretty massive. So Rudy, Paul George, then Greek Freak. You can't really go wrong whichever way you want to throw those three. Yeah, pretty easy. Next up, Lou Williams is an unbackable sixth man of the year. He sure is. 20 points on 42.5% shooting, 36% from three rebounds, 5.4 assists as well, which is crazy. Played 74 of his 75 games off the bench. He's going to win it for his third time in his 15-year career. Lou Williams just... It was close at midseason, I think, when we did our midseason awards, and then he just fucking stepped it up a notch and kicked everyone's ass from there. Following him, I've got Spencer Dinwiddie on the Nets. He was unreal. He got hurt there for a little bit, which kind of stunk for Spencer and kind of derailed, or else he could have been a bit of a contender to the title. But yeah, no good. He comes in second. Then I've got Domantas Sabonis over there on Indy. He was unreal as a sixth man all year. The way they played him and Miles Turner was really, really cool. So I really enjoyed that. On your Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King. I've then got T-Ross and Montrezl Harrell in 4-5. Terrence Ross was really good sneakily for the Magic all year. And Montrezl was absolutely unstoppable off the bench for the Clippers. And I really think like if he had played maybe a few more minutes throughout the season, he might have actually had a bit more of a crack at actual sixth man of the year. But anyway, Pascal Siakam has most improved player of the year locked up. Yeah, nah. Yeah, fuck. He does. 16.9 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 55% from the field, 36.9 from 3. Last year was 7.3 points, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 50% from the field, and 22% from 3. So he's jumped up nearly 10 points a game, nearly 3 rebounds, an assist, shooting 5% better from the field, and 15% better from 3. Jesus. He's been amazing. And look, people are like, oh, but the most improved player in the NBA should be D'Angelo Russell. He's the reason of the majority of like, the Nets have like made the playoffs this year. Do the Nets make the playoffs without D'Angelo? No. Do the Raptors make the playoffs without Siakam Siakam? Yeah, probably. What's... It's most improved. It's not most important to a team making the fucking playoffs, is it? So I've got Pascal Siakam at 1. Number 2, I've got John Collins. That's a tall cocktail. And number 3, I've got Miles Turner. he finally fucking put it together, son, a little bit. Getting better and better and better each year. He and Demaris as well. Demaris could have been an easy three. And people would be like, but what about D'Angelo Russell, bro? Or De'Aaron Fox? I'm like, motherfucker, they were like a 2 and 5 pick respectively. They're meant to be good. I'm not going to reward top 5 picks for being good at basketball. It's all right, but he got better. He was always meant to be good. Fuck off. No one knew that Siakam was going to be unreal. And he was. John Collins was a real late fly for Atlanta. And Miles Turner was a bit of a fucking project there for Indy. Same with DeMatis. Well, DeMatis was picked by OKC. But still, like, D'Angelo, yes, he got much better this year. Is he the most improved? No, because he was always meant to be good. And this is like a part of like the actual like sort of just basketball curve for him. And was always expected. So you can't improve over what I basically expected anyway. Basically, my rule is if, yeah, you're a top 6 or 7 pick, I'm not going to give you most improved because you're meant to be fucking good, you idiots. All right, and hey, let's do some All-NBAs. Number one, is Dame your All-NBA first-teamer? Holy shit. Don't look now, but I've got him. Yeah. I've got him. I've got Dame Lillard, James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Paul George, and Nikola Jokic, hello, on my first team. Does that mean Steph is a second teamer? Yes, and KD. That's right, I've got the Coward Snake, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Rusty Westbrook, and Kawhi. Along with Joel Embiid on my second team All-NBA, and then third team All-NBA, I've got Kyrie Irving, Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Blake Griffin, LeBron James, and Rudy Gobert, the Steph with that word, over Karl Anthony Towns. And look, I'm not going to fucking have anyone go, oh, but what about Kemba? Fuck off, nerds. All defense, who gives a shit, really? Miles Turner, Paul George, Giannis, Marcus Smart, Klay Thompson. Sounds about right for the first five. And then second five, I've got Embiid, Bev, Kawhi, Rudy Gobert, Bledsoe. Yeah, that sounds good. But that's cool. I mean, fine, sure. What do you reckon about that? It's cool. Nice. All right, well, how about a quick unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Ben Simmons should be the All-NBA third team guard over Kemba Walker. I mean, come on, Kemba. Make the fucking playoffs, mate. See you do it. And also, second unpopular opinion of the day, hey, why have the Sacramento Kings not already hired Luke Walton? I would be there in a second getting Luke Walton for my young dudes. Get onto it, Vladdy. And finally, TGIF. Am I right? At Outback. That's right. It's Friday at Outback Takehouse. You know what that means? 4-for-1 oil drum cans full of icy, icy cold Fosters. That's right. Cat piss in a can that we foist onto you Yanks because you think you know a little fucking something about beers, but you still drink this shit. Only at Outback. Goes great with a flame grill take. And your flame grill take is the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers next year will be Tyronn Lue. Only at Outback. I'm not entirely sure how flame grilled that is because I'm pretty sure that just probably happened, won't it? Nice. All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch right after, let's say this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. The final all-encompassing Australian Player Watch for the year. We're going to look at everybody and see how their years were. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, played 79 games, absolutely crushed it, ended up averaging 16.9 points, 8.8 rebounds, 7.7 assists, shot 56.9 from the field, had 10 triple-doubles, hit his season high of 29 points twice. He had a 26-12-8 versus Toronto. Had a great 25-15-11 against the Warriors. Also chucked in the 22 rebound game against the Knicks. Don't forget, that was pretty good. Still, you kind of feel like, you know, waiting for him to kick it up a notch in the playoffs. Yeah. Still a very, very good year. Very solidified. Oh, shit, he's really good year from Simo. Would have been great to see him hit a three, but oh well. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, played in 44 games in his rookie year. Averaged out at 13.5 minutes a game. Averaged 4.7 points, 3.8 rebounds, 0.9 assists, and a block per game, shooting 49.4 from the floor and 35.4 from three. He had a season-high 19 points with 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal against Minnesota. That That was his best game of the year. He had 5 of 7 from 3. He had 14 points a game twice. He had a 13-10, 3-2-1 against Atlanta as well. And really, really sort of stepped into the role when Embiid went, you know, sort of rested down the stretch after the All-Star break as well. When Jonah actually got out there for like sort of extended time, he did pretty well. His foul rate dipped in the second half of the year. It was really good to watch him sort of, you know, get up to speed with everything. And it really helped him, I think, having Big Simo there with him. So good stuff, son of Bruce. Hopefully the old Sixers realize that you're probably their best sort of backup 4-5 next year. Yeah, seems good. Jingling Joe Ingles played all 82 games this year, averaged 12.1 points, 5.7 assists, 4 rebounds, 1.2 steals, shot 39.1% from 3 and 44.8 from the field. Equaled his career high of 27 points 3 different times this year, which was amazing. He hit it against the Warriors, Boston, and Phoenix. Hit 7 of 11 from 3 against Phoenix. It was unreal. Had a great game, don't forget, against the Lakers when he set his career high in assists with 14. He also had 11 points and 9 rebounds. Almost had his first career triple-double, which would have been great. But he had a great year, did the Jingler. Had obviously a bit of a swoon there in the middle of the year when they were about to come out with the fact that his son was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And once this all came to light, and he sort of, it seemed like it was like a bit of a load off his shoulders, and he started playing absolutely blindingly well. And it was great to see. It was a really touching story, and on you, Jingler. What a great year. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe. Another disappointing outing, I reckon, for Dante. We did have Tim Watts, MP, on the show at the start of the year. His big tip was Dante for most improved player. I was on board as well. And he started off like fucking gangbusters. Absolutely wild, you know? Goes out there, crushes it. He played 42 games all up, felt like less. The crazy part was, man, he started off strong. Yeah, back-to-back 13-point games. The most improved Dante Exum train was rolling. And he had 15 and 5 against Houston as the Harden stopper. He had a season-high 20 points against Big Simo Ben Simmons in December. Chucked in a 13-point, 13-assist game the next game versus the Knickerbockers. And then 3 games later, just as he's hit his stride, he hurt his knee and that was his season done. So, ugh. It just sucked, didn't it? God damn. Brutal. And he came back for a little bit and it's like, well, no, in that, yeah, in December he hurt his ankle and then came back and hurt his knee, and it's like, oh, this sucks. Oh, well, hopefully he comes back better and bigger next year. King Dally of Maribyrnong, there you go, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, played 48 games as well. He had a ankle and concussion. He had a concussion that he suffered on March 6th against Brooklyn that basically ended his season. Also dealt with like an ankle and a wrist here and there. Averaged 5.9 points a game. Oh, Dante, he ended up at 6.9 points, 2.6 assists, 1.6 rebounds. Didn't get enough counting stats either in his very limited time on the floor. That was a tough one. 41.9 from the floor, 29% from three. King Dally, 16.6 minutes a game, 5.9 points, 3.8 assists, 1.6 rebounds, shot 33.8 from three, 40.5 from the floor. Season high, 17.7 assists against the Pelicans. That was a great one for King Dally. He had 13 assists against Brooklyn as well, then 11 a week later, and then got hurt. And that stank. So, yeah, a bit of a tough one for King Dally. Started off in Milwaukee, gets traded back to Cleveland, where it all began. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. Dally in Cleveland.
Cleveland!
It was great stuff. And he was joined there by Deng Adel. Dang! Adel. Played 19 games after getting called up from the Canton Charge. Well, being assigned from the Canton Charge, he started off the year with the Toronto 905, the Raptors, Toronto's G League team. Signed the two-way with the Cavs on Jan 15, had a career-high 6 points against Chicago in Jan, which is pretty good. He had 5-2 twice, career-high 2 blocks against Washington, 2 assists against Boston, so averaged 1.7 points, one rebound, and 0.3 assists. So, good on you there, Deng Adel. 26.1% from 3, 30% from the floor. Penny Thrills, Patty Mills played all 82 games, had a season high 22 points. He'll be cracking it up against Denver in the playoffs. And obviously so will Jingler and Big Simo and Bangers and Thonsong. So we've got a lot of Aussies still to go in the playoffs, but this is just the wrapping up the year, isn't it? Patty averaged 9.9 points, 2.2 rebounds, 3 assists, 0.6 steals, shot 42.5% from the field and 39.4% from 3. Great stuff. 6 of 8 from 3 went up against Memphis. That was great. Kung Fu Thon, traded from Milwaukee to Detroit halfway through the season. Played 64 games, averaged 5 points, 3.2 rebounds, 0.7 assists and blocks. season high of 15 points. He had a 14-6-4, with those four being blocks against the Warriors in March, which was awesome. Still had zero double-doubles, though. Come on, Thon. Aaron Bangers-Baines played 51 games, actually battled a couple of injuries this year. Ankle, a wrist. It was a bit of a sucky one. Started 18 games. Boston went 10 of 8 when he started. His defensive efficiency was like right up there for most of the year. He averaged 16.1 minutes, 5.6 points, 4.7 rebounds, 1.1 assists. Shot 47% from the field and 34.4 from three, because hashtag bangers 3-point watch. 21 of 61 for the season. You little ripper. On your bangers. A couple of highlights, 16-9 versus Atlanta back in November. He had three blocks twice. He had three double-doubles. In the last week, he had 13-3, 11-11, and 10-10. It was awesome. Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, friend of the show. He played 42 games this year for the Mavericks. Averaged 9.6 minutes a game. 4 points, 1.5 rebounds, 0.5 assists. Shot 40% from three and 45.2% from the field. He had a great stretch towards the end of the year when he actually got some run. Three straight games of double-digit scoring, 13, 15, 11. Had a then-career high of 15 points, three assists in 22 minutes against Simo and the Sixers, and then smashed in 17 against the Warriors when he hit 6 of 8 from the field. That was awesome. Also hit 4 of 6 threes against Sacramento when he got his 13 points. It was awesome. Andrew Bogey Bogut was back in the NBA. He signed with Golden State on March 7. He played 11 games, averaged 3.5 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and shot 50% from the field. He had 8 points against Detroit. That was a high. 8 rebounds against Charlotte. Bogey just out there crushing it. Isaac Humphries, Hump Day. Big Hump played 5 games for the Atlanta Hawks after getting called up from the Erie Bayhawks. He had a season-high 18 minutes on debut against the Spurs. He had 6 points against Milwaukee. That was a season-high. 5 rebounds on that debut. Didn't get an assist in all 5 of those games. But he did go 2 of 4 from 3 against Milwaukee as well. Only a hump day. Good stuff. And finally, Mitchie Creek played 5 games. 4 for Brooklyn, 1 for Minnesota. Averaged 4.2 points, 2.4 rebounds, 1.2 assists, and shot 50% from the field. Also friend of the program. Had a season high 8 points against Milwaukee. Apparently everyone just had some season highs against Milwaukee. That's weird. 3.5 field goals. 3 of 5 from the field he shot in that game. Had 5 rebounds twice. Had 4 assists against Milwaukee. And played a season high 18 minutes against Boston in front of his family, which was legendary. Great stuff. Anya Mitch Creek, and Anya to all the Australians. We had a record 13 playing the NBA this year. Absolutely wild stuff. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, the Jingler, Joe Ingles, Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, King Daly of Maribyrnong, Smasher of Tins, first of his name, Deng Dang, Adele, Patty Thrills, Patty Mills, Kung Fu, Thon, 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 Bangers Baines, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, Andy Bogey Bogut, Isaac Humphrey, Humphreys, and Mitch Creek Freak, Creaky Creek, the Horsham Hammer himself, 13. Unreal. So we still have Simo and Jonah, Jingles, Patty Thrills, Kung Fu Thon, and Bangers and Bogey. Still alive in the playoffs. It's going to be awesome. So, all right, well, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and the game previews for Sunday's first 4 playoff games. Oh, how good's that? It's going to be right after this.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, let's do it. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. And today we do have no Twitter from Patty or anything, but we do have Thon McCurr tweeting out a picture of him saying, here we go, that's 3 years in a row, hashtag playoffs, hashtag Detroit basketball, prayer hands, wink emoji, photo attribution at Cassie Athena photo. Patty Mills also did have a go at a person who was, he did actually post a very nice and pretty cool tweet about his fiance. Just, they're in New York, and he tweeted out, whoa, of this video of her just like on a rooftop. And someone responded saying, objectify much, Patty? Disappointing you need to post this for the boys. And Patty Mills came back, clapping back harder than hell, saying, excuse me, Janice, but this is my stunningly beautiful fiance, and we are getting married this summer. I'm also very proud of the strong and confident woman she has grown into be. So please don't bring any negativity around here. We accept good vibes only. Ah, there you go. Fuck you, Janice. Holy shit. Patty off the top rope. Nice one. All right, let's get into our game previews for the first four playoff games. Let's do it.
Game previews.
All right, man. It's our game preview and picks brought to you by Sports Tips Australia. Head to their Facebook page to join up and score some insanely bang on NBA tips day in, day out, all the way through the playoffs. And that's right, we have finished the week. We actually won this week. NBA Australia, you little ripper! Ended up 4 out of 6 to their 2 out of 6. So you take that. My big tips of the weekend are Toronto Orlando over, which is 216 at the moment. I'll take the over on that. And the Nets plus 7.5. Nice. And we had some tips yesterday from Sports Tips Australia about the playoff series. It was Boston 4-1 and Golden State 4-1. So we'll see how they go. All right, let's have a look at the odds and make a pick and do a bit of a preview for each of the games on Sunday. Pretty early ones. Jesus, 4:30 in the morning, Brooklyn, Philly. God damn. Anyway, Philly are favored 7.5 points at home against the Brooklyn Nets. I'm taking Brooklyn plus 7.5 because if Embiid isn't ready to go, that 7.5 is feeling pretty damn tasty for Brooklyn. We mentioned it earlier, but I mean, D'Angelo might go absolutely bananas in his first playoff game, but he also might shoot them out of it. But if Embiid is playing, Philly smash. If he's not, Brooklyn got a bit of a look in. I think Brooklyn might be all right anyway, but 7.5, I'll take that. Orlando visiting Toronto. Toronto are 8.5-point favorites at home. I'll take Toronto, thank you very much. Drake going to be there. Going to be hanging out, wearing some sort of fancy sweater. Who's Orlando's Drake? Is it Tiger Woods? And he doesn't go to games. So who is it? Probably some golfer, whatever. I'll take Toronto minus 8.5. I think they absolutely smash Orlando in game one. The Clippers go to Golden State and are 12.5-point underdogs on the road in Golden State. And you know what? That kind of feels about right, but I'm going to go with the Clippers plus 12.5. It's probably one or two too many points for my liking. I think the Warriors will win it by maybe 9 or 10. So I'll take the Clippers plus 12.5. The battle continues, though. The Clippers, the only team, the last team in the West to beat the Golden State Warriors. Nice. In the playoffs.
Playoffs.
And then finally, San Antonio at Denver. The Nuggets are 5.5-point favorites at home. And I think I'll take the Nugs in that one. I think they come out, flex a little bit on the Spurs, and it'll be by game two where Pop has a little bit of time to sort of make some adjustments, where San Antonio might give them a little bit of a run for their money. But I'll take Denver minus 5.5 in game one. And then I guess on Monday, for Monday's games, because we'll be doing a Monday show, we'll wrap up Sunday and Monday's games. We've got Indy at Boston. Boston is 6.5-point favorites at home. I'm going to take the Celtics in that one. I think they come out all guns blazing and then it all falls apart in game two. That's how I'm predicting that series goes. So I'll take Boston game one minus 6.5. The Thunder at Blazers. The Blazers are 3-point favorites at home. And I think this is the one where they get one. They finally beat OKC this season. I'll take the Blazers minus 3. I think they just sort of put the hammer down out of nowhere. They might lose every game after that, but I'll take the Blazers in game one. Detroit and Milwaukee. Milwaukee minus 11.5. I will take that in a heartbeat. I think they absolutely smash the Pistons. And then the Jazz, or the Yaz, it's a soft J, against the Rockets. The Rockets are 6-point favorites at home. I'm going to take the Jazz to cover, plus 6. And they might not win, but I think they cover. I reckon that'll be one of the closer games. So that's on Monday morning. How good is that? I'm looking forward to this. 4 games a day. Love the first round. It's all spread out very nicely. All right, so there you go. Remember, make sure you like Sports Tips Australia on Facebook. If you send them a message with the code STRAYA, they'll sort you out with a free sign-up, free subscription for the rest of the playoffs, and you might end up with a $150 bonus bet with Neds. How good is that? That's right, man. Thanks to Sports Tips Australia. Go help them out the way they help us out. All right, so that's it for today. We're done. All right, we'll be back on Monday with a wrap of all the game ones. All 8 of them. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait. You're going to be waking up with me 4 a.m. 4 a.m. on Sunday. Jesus, that's going to be rough. Might stay out. Might be a bit easier. Fucking hell. Right. Cool. So we'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're all over the socials. You know that. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, however you listen to us. whatever your Android app is, just mash 5 stars. It really helps out. Go follow us on Spotify as well. That's really cool. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. I will be in about 4 hours. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. They're launching it tonight at the Old Bar in Fitzroy, Melbourne. I'm going to be there. I'll be sitting there. I'm the guy with the fucking orange beard, probably wearing an NBA Australia shirt, getting shit-faced. It's going to be great. House Hats, Old Bar tonight, April 12. Go listen to Running Out of Time. Either way, it's awesome. Also, thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp. Facey, remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it. We're going to finish off today with a new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And we'll catch you on Monday, you dickheads. It's NBA Australia saying, playoffs! Playoffs! Later, Jose! All right, then welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes on Twitter. And look, because of all these latte drinking, left wing, SJW snowflakes everywhere, stopping traffic in the middle of Melbourne and shit, look, someone has to be out here telling it like it is, mate. And that's just what I do, mate. I talk about betting commercials, Sydney traffic, Australian media, a bunch of other dumb shit on Twitter. And look, if you don't like my opinions, mate, it's pretty easy. You don't have to follow me. You can go get stuffed, you dickheads. Nice one. All right, so let's go to the Twitter machine for this week and see what the snowflakes have been up to. Oh, here we go. Oh, so I said some stuff about the LA Lakers the other day, and this dickhead, Jermaine Wiggins, he comes back and says, "Get over it, Andrew Bogut." Oh, fuck you, dickhead. I'm well over it. I didn't bring it up. I got asked about it. I answered truthfully. Simple philosophy, really. Even one with a hat too small could understand because he's got a very small hat on his head. Nice one, Bogey. That was pretty funny. What else? Oh, did you see that Essendon won this week? That is great, mate. Essendon tweeted out, on the board for 2019. We are off the mark. Go Essendon Football Club. Hashtag more please. Good job, Bombers. That's fucking sick as, mate. Oh, and did you see that amazing report about how the NCAA wouldn't even let Virginia's Kyle Guy and his fiance get their wedding registry going? Can you believe that? Wedding registry. The NCAA says, no, free books only. Smack my head. Oh my God, can you believe these idiots? That's hilarious. What about this one? Oh my God, how much Mark Webber tweeted out. Memo to hotels, room keys for lifts suck. Always shit themselves at the worst time. Lights in your rooms, never nice spending 10 minutes working out how to turn the pricks off. Oh my God. Mark Webber, you are so right. Talked about this with friends the other day. Bluetooth key codes through an app to unlock a door is coming soon. One of the few industries that hasn't progressed to new tech. And the lamp thing kills me when arriving to cities at 2 a.m. Oh, laughing, sweating emoji. Oh, tell me about it. It's a rough one, I'll tell you. What else have we got this week? Oh, look, there's a couple of other ones. Oh, did you see who we signed? I'm going to tell you. Going to be pretty fun. Here we go. I'm going to like start up a bit of a shitstorm. It's pretty funny, this one. Oh, here we go. Good evening at NBL. Eyeballs emoji. Hashtag free agency. Oh, watch everybody go crazy. I'm going to follow this one up. We're saying an announcement that will shake things up for 2019-20 NBL coming shortly. Oh, that's a pretty good one. I like this one because then I get to tweet out the Sydney Kings. That's right, the Kings, my team, they tweeted out. The Sydney Kings have made a statement to the league by acquiring the signature of in-point point guard, Casper Ware. Welcome at CWare22. Oh my God, I got a point guard. This is fucking sick, mate. I am stoked, bro. This is fully brilliant. Oh, and the best part is I got to say that Clary Williams is a fucking dickhead. So NBL tweeted out, seeing is believing, and you better believe this. You mean to tell me Kerry Williams is wrong? Again? Surely not. Nice one. Nice one, you dickheads. Okay, so that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut. Join us next week on NBA Australia for some more Andrew Bogut slaying some Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.